going on, everyone? My name is Alan the Sheriff, aka Alan the Sheriff. Wait, why did I just say that twice? And this is the Alan the Sheriff podcast. I am the sheriff of all things innovative. Welcome to the very first episode of the Alan the Sheriff podcast. I think this one's going to be special. I'm going to try and be as me as possible. Now, all right. Yes, welcome to the ATS podcast. Just a few things I want to point out before we get started. What the heck does welcome to Doodoland mean? Like, I'm sure you guys are wondering that. Welcome to Doodoland means your own space of authenticity. That's literally it. So, like, for anybody who's been wondering, like, what that phrase means and why I say it all the time and why it's incorporated into my work is because, like, I want it to just be, like, my own phrase, like, its own superior meaning, like, your own space of authenticity. In your own space, you can be whoever you want. And that just happens to be my own apartment. So I'm just living my life. So living my best life. That's all it really comes down to. Welcome to Doodoland and welcome to my Doodoland. also, my brother's got new in-crowd merch. Go cop the long sleeve shirt. I got the long sleeve rainbow joint. The joint is tough. I really like it. If you're watching this on YouTube, yeah, just take a look at that joint. It's real tough. Go type in in-crowd on Instagram. I'm sure you can find him. I'm sure you can find out where exactly you can get his merch. I probably should have collected this information from him prior, but yeah. Well, that was awkward. Anyway, other than that, like, I just wanted to give a quick, like, 1 minute, like, speech, I guess, on, like, why I even started this podcast. Like, it's not even a speech. This will take, like, 5 seconds. Anyway, I started this podcast because I feel like it's really important for us to be able to take news, like, every single day from, like, science, technology, and psychology, because we have to learn what's advancing us, like, as a species, like, every single day. And I think it's really awesome, you know, to be able to just dive into these subjects and just really see what's going on. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people don't really give these subject areas a chance. And if they do, a lot of the information is just being thrown at their faces. So it's just really dull and boring. So that's what I just, like, hope to not do on this podcast, is to have you just, like, hear what I'm saying, you know, and just really enjoy the information at the same time, like, with a teeny tint of humor. Well, not a teeny tint. You'll get a lot from me because I laugh a lot. So, like, if that's one thing you hate, like, laughter, like, this probably, like, won't be the podcast for you, because I'm going to be laughing a lot on this joint. But yeah, let's get into it. I'm wasting time. The first subject matter is science. Now, let's see. I read this article the other day. It's called "This May Be the First Lab-Grown Meat to Actually Hit the Market." Now, it's an article from Futurism. It talks about a Singaporean startup called Sheik Meats that has the potential to be the first company to bring lab-grown meats to our restaurant tables. Now, the Singaporean startup called, and I'm hoping that's how it's pronounced, Sheik Meats. We'll just call it Sheik for now. But Sheik Meats may be posed to be the first company in the world to actually sell lab-grown meat. Sheik is focusing particularly on shrimp. It's bringing down its price per pound every single year. It's getting cheaper. Singapore is actually with this. They actually like the idea. They're receptive towards giving this a green light and having it actually become a restaurant. And the market for lab-grown meats is actually very crowded. I mean, you have startups like Olive Farms, Just, Memphis Meats. I think that's a company that Bill Gates is invested in right now. And it's, you know, typically really expensive to grow lab-grown meats because it's grown in a lab. It's kind of weird at first when you think about it, because it's like, how can you, like, grow anything in a lab? It sounds like something out of, like, a strange, like, cartoon or something, like those late night movies, like, you see, where it's just like, it's just the doctor's in his office or something. He's talking to an assistant and it's like he concocts something and it just jumps out of the pot and is like, I'm gonna eat your brain. But nah, like, it sounds wild at first, but it's really interesting, like, especially for me, like. And also, Sheik Meats is actually planning on moving on to lobster and crab next if they can actually get shrimp out to the market. So, I think this idea is really awesome. I don't have too much time to speak on it. But, to be honest, I actually did a YouTube video a while back called Battle of the Plant Meats. Like, and the video was particularly about trying to get people to focus more on eating plant meat as an alternative, as opposed to just, like, Just like as opposed to regular meat, like that we get from cows and chickens and such. And like I just love it whenever a company tries its best to try and weed us off, like meat in general, because I feel like not only is it better for the environment, but I feel like overall, like it's just like it's just like you're saving us. You know what I mean? Like climate change is real. Like this like sustainability like is a thing that we should be focusing on. And so for like this firm to actually be like coming out of the gate and actually trying to do something like this, like I think it's really awesome. I'm actually really biased about like, companies that try and do this. Like coming out of the starting gate, yeah, it's pretty difficult because I think I read somewhere in the article that they were selling that the price per pound of this shrimp was $2,000 or more, and they said that, it'll be even cheaper by next year. Like, yeah, off the top of your head, you're like, that's wild. I'm not about to travel all the way down to Singapore just to buy like $2,000 of like $2,000 worth of like shrimp per pound. Like, that's just like, it's just not economically feasible. But it's just like right out of the starting gate, the fact that it's getting even cheaper and that they're actually working towards it to make it a reality, just so like we can eat a lot less real meat. Like, I think it's pretty tough. Like, I think it's really awesome. Yeah, of course, like you know what I mean? Like, me, myself, I wish I could like support them like in real life, like as in like going down to Singapore and be like, hey, what's up? Like, let me try some of this shrimp. Like, I read about you guys. I'm down here at your restaurant. Like, I'm trying to mess with your meat. But unfortunately, that sounded wrong. But unfortunately for me, like, I'm actually allergic to shellfish. Yeah, I can't eat shrimp. I can't eat lobster. I can't eat crab. It really sucks. I'm running out of time here, but these are just like my final thoughts. Like, I think that it's awesome. I think any kind of company that tries to do this is they really care about climate change, and we're just happy to have you on the team of like, the Crime Stoppers, the people who are trying to stop like all these crazy, like companies out here from just like destroying our atmospheres. So yeah. Moving on to our next subject, which is technology. Now, I read about this company called, no, well, it's not a company. The article. The article in particular is called Electronic Blood Vessels to the Rescue. And it was an article that I read on Spectrum. And this article talks about the creation of artificial electronic blood vessels that have the potential to do much more, like drug delivery and gene therapy. Now, these artificial blood vessels are actually biodegradable as well. And it points out that when treating cardiovascular disease, doctors will usually use replacement blood vessels from patients' own bodies to help with the treatment. But sometimes the patient's age and condition can actually prevent this. So the article also points out that artificial blood vessels have been difficult to use in the case of smaller blood vessels because smaller blood vessels typically have a lot more complications, such as inflammatory responses that come up. Xingyu Zhang, a biomedical engineer at the Southern University of Science and Technology in Shenzhen, China, Zhang and his team have reported developing a promising new artificial blood vessel that doesn't cause this inflammatory response. And they tested these artificial blood vessels in rabbits. And afterwards, the results from the study came back. There were no complications. In other words, like the inflammatory responses didn't come up. And they're going to continue this research one day to help. They're going to continue developing this out. Just got a little sneeze there. They're going to continue this research, and one day they hope to include sensors so that they can also collect data from the patient's body. So I think this is really awesome. Like, just the fact that I tend to dwell on this a lot, and I've been doing this a lot lately, but like typically, when it comes to just science and technology in general, I don't think people understand just how deep things get. I don't think people understand the layers. Like, once you really start peeling back the layers, you really begin to start like understanding just how just how far we've come as human beings, and just how what's the word I'm looking for? We just work hard as human beings. We never stop. I like the fact that there are so many layers to this. It's like, yeah, off the top of your head, you can say, oh, an artificial blood vessel that's been created by human beings. This is freaking awesome. But the complication that I read about in the article, these inflammatory responses that come up in these blood vessels, they usually come from smaller blood vessels. And so they looked at that and they said, oh my goodness, like, you know, like, so how do we get past that? How do we bypass this issue? And so Xing Yu and his team had actually decided to start working like on a smaller artificial blood vessel that works well. And it turned out great. You know what I mean? They tested it in rabbits and they got no inflammatory response. And that's just what I like in general, is that when I see things like this, like, it makes me like, it just makes me want to go all in. Like, I like the fact that there are people who actually persevere and like continue to work hard at the point where they feel like, you know, things wouldn't be possible, you know. And just like a funny little thought I had the other day, like, dude, like, we're really on the way to creating cyborgs. Like, like, bro, think about it. Like, everybody's gonna get these artificial blood vessels one day. Like, I mean, like, these artificial electronic blood vessels, like, it's no joke. Like, one day we're all gonna have this. Like, and it's just like, it's the tiny pieces that human beings are working on every single day to put together this cyborg. Like, we're all actually gonna look like Cyborg from Teen Titans. Well, I'm gonna look like Cyborg from Teen Titans. I don't know what you guys are gonna look like. I love Cyborg. I think that dude's tough. Like, but like, yeah, like, I'm gonna be Cyborg. You might be Robin, you know, and you know, your dad might be Beast Boy. Your sister could be Starfire. I don't know. I'm gonna look like Cyborg. I love that dude. I love Teen Titans. But but nah, like, yeah, like, dude, like, we've come so far, and I feel like it's literally just the tiny pieces that are like we're working on every single day that are building up to that point that will be like, yo, like, this is like some of the most revolutionary stuff we've ever created. And I just like the fact that we don't stop and that we continue, you know, down these paths to like create these incredible things. And, you know, like, yeah, man, just layers. We just keep on getting pulled. We just keep pulling them back. And just like, I also thought about the fact that, you know, like, is there a chance that this could be possibly used for anything dangerous? Now, I highly doubt that. Like, obviously, this is being used, like, in the case to help, you know, to help with gene therapy and drug delivery. But, like, is there any possible way that this could be used for, like, anything bad? And so an idea that I just had the other day was, you know, what if, like, this team, or just like any particular team with these electronic blood vessels, decided to sneak into your home at night, like, hit you with that anesthesia, and just put these joints in your body. And then one of the doctors just smacks you over the forehead, just like, where am I? And be like, hey, bro, wake up. We got you now. We got you. And be like, what do you mean? Be like, bro, we got you. Like, we put the electronic blood vessels in your body. Now we can electroshock you whenever we want. So you better do what we say or we're going to finish you off. Be like, oh, snap, what you mean? Like, nah, man, I'm not about that life. That's not me. Be like, nah, you don't have a choice now. You probably get up to go, you know, call the police and get a donut from the fridge. All of a sudden, you just get hit with the, like, ah. You're like, yeah, bruh, we told you. You think this is a joke? Like, like, you think this is a joke? No, it's not a joke. Like, I wonder if they're actually really going to be doing that to people. I mean, I doubt it. Like, I really doubt that they're going to be doing that to people out here. But that's just like another thought that I had the other day. I was like, yo, there's so many things that, like, we're building out every single day, like, that could be used against humanity rather than for humanity. I feel like there's always going to be evil people out there, right? But I feel like as long as we continue to hold on and do the right thing, brother, that's all that's going to matter. For real, that's all that's going to matter. Because, like, you know, there's going to be evil people out there. But, bruh, we just do the right thing, bruh. Do the right thing. Yeah, I got 20 seconds left. Just like my final thoughts on this, bro. Nah. I mean, disregard all that evil stuff. Like, yeah. And don't act like you're perfect. We all have weird thoughts like these all the time. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just the only weirdo in the room. Yeah. I mean, and that's what I started this podcast for, to be a weirdo and talk about these things. But nah, man, these things could definitely help benefit mankind. Yeah, that's it. Last 3 seconds. Next subject. Here we go. The last subject is psychology. And I read an article the other day on spatial memory. Now, this one's actually really interesting. Now, the name of the article, and I picked this article in particular because the name just stuck out to me. And I just wanted to say this, like, on this podcast. The name of the article is "Our Brain is Better at Remembering Where to Find Brownies Than Cherry Tomatoes." Just based off that, it made me just like not even like want to read like the article. Because the thing is, like, I actually love cherry tomatoes more than brownies. Like I go to the store like every 2 weeks or so. The first thing that I'm picking out are cherry tomatoes. And they're always at the front. Like I always chop them up, put them on my sandwich. Like them joints are delicious. I love them to death. Like, but anyway, I'm getting carried away here. Basically, what this article was talking about. So it's an article on spatial memory. And it talks about how humans have evolved our memory to the point where we can accurately locate high caloric foods in our environment. Now, more specifically, so our spatial recall makes mental notes about the location of high caloric foods. New findings published today in scientific reports suggest that one major feature of our spatial recall is efficiently doing just that, locating high caloric foods. The study's authors believe that human spatial memory ensured that our hunter-gatherer ancestors could prioritize the location of reliable nutrition. So based on a study, researchers at, and like, don't hold this against me, I found it very hard to like, even when I was reading about this earlier on, I find it very hard to like pronounce this university's name. Wageningen University, and research in the Netherlands found that 512 participants had a higher percentage of accuracy when it came to locating high caloric foods versus diet foods. And the main takeaway message is that, and this is a takeaway message from one of the PhD candidates from Wageningen University. Their name is Rachel DeVries. Our main takeaway message is that human minds seem to be designed for efficiently locating high caloric foods in our environment. And one drawback of our spatial skills is that as they relate to sustenance is our modern taste for junk food. So in a way, our minds and bodies may be mismatched to our current obesogenic, I failed like elementary school English. Like I'm sorry. Like it was like, don't like, I'm sorry. I can't like read this like correctly, but I'm trying the best I can. All right. It was just, yeah. In a way, our minds and bodies may be mismatched to our current obesogenic food rich substances. And we have reason to suspect that the high caloric spatial memory biases could stimulate people to choose high calorie foods by making high calorie options easier and more convenient to find and obtain. Now, I also found another quote from a cognitive psychology professor at Purdue University who learned about this. And I just really liked the quote that he had. And his quote was, but this is problematic in today's world. We're still walking around with Stone Age brains. So, like, I think it's really interesting that, like, our brains have evolved to the point, like, with this spatial memory thing. Because, like, you can literally use this as an excuse. You could have used this as an excuse when you went to the store with your mom. Like, if you saw, like, if you saw any junk food, like, whether it be, like, you know, like, maybe, like, a honey bun or a candy bar or something, and you reached for it, and they said, oh, that's bad for you, you could be like, but mom, like, this is part of like my psychology. This is the way we think. Like, are you like, you know, punishing me for, you know, like the way my brain is naturally evolved? Like my brain is working correctly. Everything's correct about me. Like, it's right that I'm reaching for the candy bar. Like, what do you want to get in the way of that? Like, you know, like my brain has been programmed to locate like high caloric foods. Like, and I can recall the locations every single time we come back to the store. I know exactly where it is. I'm doing everything right. Like, you really want to hold this against me? Like, you know, do you want me to call child authorities? Like, and your mom would just be like, dang, bruh, what has he been reading? But nah, like, straight up, when you think about it, like, you, like, imagine really coming out of the starting gate with an excuse like that. But nah, like, realistically, I think that this is, I just think it's really interesting because I think a lot about, like, the society that we live in today, you know, and the part that this spatial memory, this cognitive spatial memory bias that, like, how much, like, it actually plays a part in our society today, right? You have, like, foods that, you know, we know are good for us, and we have foods that we know are bad for us. And so, like, when we automatically, like, see that McDonald's when we're driving down the street, we just go, oh, I want that. Like, it's good. Or when we see that Wendy's, oh, I want that. That Sonic, or that we don't have too many Sonics in Maryland, so it's probably not a good example for me to use. But then again, this could be used for anyone around the world. Or Burger King's, or, yes, I've never been to Sonic. I'd love to try their burgers, though. Their burgers look really good on the commercials. But the thing is, like, people have told me that, like, the burgers are actually gross, so, like, I don't know. Commercials always do that thing where they make stuff look good. But anyway, I digress. Like, basically, like, anywhere we go, we see these restaurants, and we're prone to thinking right away, I need this, I need that. This is something that my body needs. Like, I need this to survive, and I can remember exactly where this is. And as soon as you drive past it or walk past it, you automatically think to yourself, like, I gotta have it, like, it's mine. And I feel like a lot of these companies out here, they actually study it, and you know, they get us so prone to wanting these things, you know, and they put all these flavor enhancers in them and stuff like that. Basically, all I'm really trying to say is this, is that it's interesting when you think about this study and how it actually works in society, right? It just might be that a lot of these companies out here have actually taken this information and run with it. Yes, they definitely have. They've run with it, and they've made it so that they could use this information to take advantage of people. But there's nothing wrong with the processes in and of itself. Like, this evolution is a good thing, the spatial memory bias. But as I recall from one of these psychology professors in the article, basically said, he said, hey, man, like, look, the fact of the matter is, yes, it's great that we can locate high caloric foods. But there are foods today in society that are making us obese that when we look to and we can automatically locate, like, it's bad for us. And so we have to stop mismatching, like, what's good versus what's bad. We have to start looking at what's good. Like, so for instance, like me, like, I, you know, I try to eat healthy as possible. Like, I see, like, an avocado and I automatically think it looks delicious. It looks great because I put it on a lot of sandwiches and I mix it in with a lot of different ingredients. So it tastes delicious to me. Anyway, I'm running out of time here. But basically my final thoughts are this. Like, let's try to, you know, as best as possible, like, really try and start looking at, you know, just what's good for us in general and start, you know, associating it with, like, a lot of, like, you know, other great tasting foods and stuff like that. I hope that I said that right. I hope that came out right. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect at all. Don't hold it against me. Anyway, yeah, that was the last subject. My name is Alan the Sheriff. Thank you so much for tuning in to, you know, the ATS podcast. I really appreciate it. If you guys are watching me on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, make sure you like, and make sure you comment on this video. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of those other podcasts that my podcast, any of those other platforms that my podcast is now available on, because since this is my first episode, like, I'm getting all these these updates, like, on my podcast host basically telling me, oh, your podcasts are available everywhere now. So, like, just know they're available everywhere. So, yeah, just make sure that you continue to tune in. I'm really glad that you guys tuned into this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Alan the sheriff of all things innovative. I will see you guys in the next episode. Stay beautiful.